ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Thursday.
Rugby League is on your radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, coming up on Sunday, the Newcastle Knights, firmly entrenched currently inside the top eight, host the Gold Coast Titans. And even though they've had a shocking recent run with injuries, particularly losing both Dillons, Lucas and Brown, well, they haven't missed a beat since in the last couple of weeks. And can they keep it going against the Titans, who are struggling at the moment? Let's find out. On the line is their 5'8", Fletcher Sharp. G'day, Fletcher. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. We were in Newey a few weeks ago, calling that one-point loss to the Roosters, where even though you had all those injuries, you could well have won the game. But you lost Dylan Lucas, you lost Dylan Brown. How big's it been for you guys to win a couple on the trot since then?
Yeah, obviously it's been huge this part of the season. We've put ourselves in a good position now, but I think we've got to really connect the group at the moment, and we all believe that the next man up is going to do the job just as good as the one before. So, no, there's a lot of belief around at the moment, and we're excited where we're at this time of year.
I said before the start of the season, Newcastle had one of the sneaky buys of the year in Sandon Smith, because he compliments you and Dylan Brown, for that matter, really nicely. How have you found combining with him as opposed to what you'd been doing with Dylan?
Yeah, that's been great. I think Sandon, he's a great communicator out there. So he's really allowed me and KP to get the ball in areas that we won over the last few weeks and create some opportunities. So, no, Singer's been great. He gets around the field well, and his kicking game's been massive for us as well. Finishing our sets and really controlling the game for us. So it's been great having Singer in the team.
Fletcher, first of all, mate, outstanding year. You've been playing amazing football. But where's your favourite position? Like, you play a really good game at fullback and you're busy, you're all over the park. And 5'8", you do the same sort of thing. But I feel you get stuck on one side. Do you have a preference?
If you asked me a year ago, I probably definitely would have said fullback as my favourite. But I feel like I'm starting to find the last probably month, starting to find what my footy looks like in at 5'8". It's definitely taken a while. The back end of last year and the start of this year took a little bit. It was a slow ride, but I think Justin and the coaching staff have been great. They've kind of opened up my game and kind of given me a bit more freedom to go on and venture across the field and pop myself into the game where I see fit. So, I feel the last few weeks I'm really starting to find that balance of when to run, when to ball play, and I feel we'll find a good balance at the moment, which is pleasing.
Mate, you just spoke about Justin Holbrook. He's been amazing to see how you guys have come along and what you're doing on a footy field at the moment. Sort of take me into the sheds with Justin. What's he like and what's he brought to the club?
Yeah, Justin's he's a legend of a bloke, I think. Probably a great balance as well. Once you get across that white line, it's all footy, and he's a great footy brain. He's got some great ideas, which I think probably has come out in our attack this year, giving us a bit of freedom to play a lot of footy even from our own half. But then off the field, he's just a genuine fella, someone you can have a conversation with, and he genuinely cares about the players, which I think is showing on the footy field as well, which is amazing.
And who's your defensive coach at the moment? I think he's doing a great job for you guys as well. Looks like he's all bought into that. I feel like your defence has gone to another level this year.
Yeah, Brett White's our defence coach. He's amazing as well. Obviously,
good front rower, Brett White.
The defence is obviously something that was different coming into the front line too, which it took a little bit of getting used to. But Whitey's been great for me personally and for the team. He's likewise given us a lot of confidence. Obviously, new system coming in the year, so I guess you have to be able to get players to buy into it. And I think he's done a great job getting the team behind it, and it's working well for us at the moment.
Yeah, Fletcher, even with all the injuries you guys have had, it just looks like you're playing with so much confidence. Do you feel like it comes just from that knowledge of your defensive system and how you can turn teams away? Does that like really feed into that confidence piece?
Yeah, definitely. I think, the start of the year, we really stripped it back with the new coaches, and we started from scratch pretty much around our systems with the ball and in defence. And I think that gave everyone a really good understanding from player 1 to 30, everyone in the squad. If their name was called upon to do a job, they were going to be confident to do it. And I think we're reaping the rewards for that now in the later end of the year, where players are getting injured and guys have got bumps and bruises and players having to come in and out. So it's really paying dividends for us now at the back end of the year, which is super pleasing.
Yeah, you've had a couple of good wins on the trot and just one close loss to the Roosters in the past three games. But playing it at Newcastle, what's it like playing at Hunter Stadium? Like, when it's full of all the Novocastrian fans, is it just your favourite place in the world?
It's unbelievable getting to run out there. The crowd's always pumping, especially this week being Sunday Arvo footy. They love the Sunday Arvo games up in the Hunter. So, every time you get to run out, that buzz is still amazing. You feel it around town when the team's going well. The town's up and about. So it's super fun to be a part of at the moment. The town's thriving and we're getting some wins as well, which is super exciting.
You're playing a team that is a bit down on form at the moment in the Gold Coast. I'm not sure how much you've watched of them in the preparation to this point, but they're a frantic team, Fletcher. They can score tries from anywhere, you'll be well aware of. How important is it just to stick with defensive plans against a team that can do some crazy stuff out there?
Yeah, we've spoken about it a lot throughout the week already. They're obviously a super dangerous side with a lot of great attacking players that can kind of make something out of nothing. So we know we can't drop our guard across the 80 minutes or they can make us look silly. So we've done a lot of work throughout the week already and around some of their plays and around some of their key players, and we'll have to put in a 80-minute good defensive performance to keep them out.
I don't know how it's possible to speak to you, Fletcher Sharp, without mentioning hair. Your hair's looking absolutely
I was going to ask, but then I didn't want to be rude, and you've just gone straight there.
It's not being rude. I'm saying it looks magnificent. In fact, I think you've left Fletcher Hunt well
in
back.
In his dust.
Well back. Would you agree?
Well, there's a bit of competition at the moment. We're always talking to each other about who's looking better, but I gave mine a little bit of a trim a few weeks back, and it's gone a little bit shorter than it was a little while back, but now we're always competing against each other, which is a good bit of fun.
Fletcher, seriously, though, how much work goes into it? Is there a fair bit of work goes into that, keeping their hair looking like that?
Nah, a fair bit. I'm actually pretty lucky. My partner's mum and sister are both hairdressers, so they look after it.
Free treatment.
I get a colour and wash it every now and then, and then I get sorted out with a fade from one of the boys around home. So,
hang on. Do you ever let Fletcher Hunt in? Do you let him into the extended family?
No, it's a competition.
Family?
Never.
No way. All appointments are booked when Hunty tries to book in.
Yeah. So you cheat. I love
by
it.
By Fletcher Sharp.
Love it. How good. Hey, Fletcher, thanks for joining us tonight. It's been so great to see Newcastle's improvement this year under Justin Holbrook and managing the resilience you've shown without a couple of very key players in recent weeks. Keep it going, mate. Good luck on Sunday against the Titans.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Thursday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news and speculation. Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, team.
Was there any story that you didn't break this week?
Sam Walker one, I didn't break that. That was Peter Bedell. But otherwise, it's been a very busy week.
All right. Well, the number two rugby league writer in Australia is here, Michael Carayannis. Mate, it's been busy. Well, why don't we start there? I actually was flicking around the telly and saw you and Brent Reed talking about Sam Walker. What is the latest with him and the Roosters? We know that now the contract negotiation's on pause until the end of the year, but is that a sign of things going awry there or not?
Well, definitely, because the Roosters did put an offer to Sam Walker's camp, and it's my understanding there was not even a rebuttal or a counter-offer. They just said, OK, thank you, we're just going to park it until the end of the season. So it just puts a lot of pressure on, well, extra pressure on Sam, all eyes will be on Sam over the next couple of weeks. But I actually don't think it's a bad move. If I'm the Roosters, I'm quite comfortable with it because, you know, the jury's still out in terms of Sam Walker at post-season, right, in terms of post-regular season, how he's going to perform, and can he lead the Roosters to a grand final or a premiership, and he's got that opportunity this year, and if we get to October and he's won him a comp, well, he can write his own check, right, but if they bounce out in straight sets or he has an unhappy final series, then that seed of doubt that no doubt the Roosters still have will linger on.
Yeah, I'll bring you, Lou and Roo, into this part of the debate or conversation I was listening to with UMC last night, is that for Sam Walker to earn, if he wants to earn $1.5 million a year, he's probably going to have to go somewhere else, because to stay at the Roosters, they can offer him a bit less money than another club, and the more desperate a club is to get a great player like Sam Walker, the more they're going to pay. So it's probably going to come down to what Sam Walker wants.
Yeah, I was going to ask Michael, actually, is there any truth to the rumour? I know that some people have been asking me, they're hearing that he wanted to hang off and see what New Guinea want to offer him. And look, that would be crazy. I do believe that Sam Walker will be the highest paid player in our game after Nathan Cleary leaves. He's only young. He's already dominated Origin. He's on the cusp of getting them to a grand final. I think the world's his oyster. So, look, I think him holding off is actually a smart plan by him. But in saying that, I think the amount of money that he could earn at the Roosters by staying there with the people that got involved in that club would be significant anyway. So I think the ball's all in Sam Walker's court and it'll all work out in the right way for him.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be... To stay at the Roosters, it won't be the same as what the Chiefs or the Bears or someone like that would be able to offer him because... You know, I played for the Roosters and I took unders to stay because I wanted to stay in that system and I wanted to play in with that group of people. Like Louis said, it's a good idea for him, but it's still one really good season that he's had. But, you know, the likes of Nathan Cleary, he's had multiple excellent seasons under his belt. That's why he commands the price that he does.
I think it comes with an element of risk as well because we know how quickly the Roosters can fall out of love with players. So if he doesn't deliver at the back end of the year, the Roosters can move on very quickly.
I reckon he'll get the money anyway.
Oh, he's going to get the money anyway. No matter what.
Yeah. My opinion on it is that's why he hasn't signed. Is at the end of the day, okay, I've got 1.3 now. Yeah, okay, you can offer me X amount of time. Goes, but I reckon if he goes to any other club, he's going to get a lot more than 1.3.
That's the thing. So the Roosters, I can't imagine them, but it could be wrong, Michael, but I can't imagine them going much over that to... it seems like that might be...
Because they still have a set. There's still an element of doubt. And I know he had two good Origin games and then, like Queensland, didn't stand up when the series was on the line in Game 3, but... You know, he needs to do it in finals for the Roosters to go, okay, you know, let's remove this element of doubt that's sort of lingering in their minds that, yes, he's a guy that can lead us to a title.
Yeah, so I agree with that. But also, I don't think there's any doubt he is going to be very well looked after, whatever club he goes to, We mentioned the PNG Chiefs. I spoke to your almost namesake on NRL Monday, MC1, Michael Chamis. It's got to be, I mean, that was a joke in your Sunday telly, Michael Carrianis, having him the 41st or whatever it was ranked influential figure in the game. He's got to be top three. He's got the biggest checkbook walking around the place. They signed Broughton To'o for 3 years and, you know, they're still hopeful of a Nathan Cleary or a Munster or a Joey Manu. They are building nicely, aren't they?
They are, no doubt. Joey Manu, you know, I think that's likely to occur. And then the big one is, obviously, Louis mentioned Sam Walker before. You know, there are two premium halves on the market, well, potentially on the market come November 1. Their first priority would be naturally Nathan Cleary. And then Sam Walker's the other one. It drops off significantly after that. If you're looking at the top tier of halfbacks who are off contract, obviously we know how quickly these things can move. But the Brian To'o signing, all done within 7 days, was granted a 7-day window to talk to the Chiefs. Met the Chiefs officials in Brisbane during the week to get that deal done, and hasn't been to PNG. I don't know if he's been before, but didn't pull PNG like the rest of the players that have committed, but has said that his future for the next 3 years after next year will be with the Chiefs.
I dare say he would have got a pretty good rundown from Luai, though.
Yeah.
What it was like.
Mike, I've got another question for you. I don't know if you've got the answer to, but the Jet Cleary situation, is there something there with Jet and Nathan? Is that building to, you know, what we're all expecting? Which I'm expecting Jet to go there and play halves with Nathan at Penrith.
Well, you can approach it two ways. Obviously, Jet Cleary's asked the Warriors for a release at the end of this year to join the Panthers. There's no doubt that will transpire at some point. He'll be at the Panthers next year. But do you look at it as in... Oh, Nathan's leaving, this is my last opportunity to play alongside him? Or do you look at it as, okay, well, you know, we could be the halves of the Panthers for the next 5, 6, 7 years together? I don't know, Louis, it depends on which way you look at it. But definitely the opportunity to play under Ivan is next year and next year alone at the moment. So that's part of the reason.
Well, can I just play devil's advocate here, and I have no idea how good or otherwise Jack Cleary is. But is he a good enough footballer to assume that he's going to be a first grade 5'8" alongside his brother for 5 years? How good is he?
I don't know. I'm not sure. The speaking, people think he's a first grade. He's not the finished product. But you're looking at the halves next year at Penrith. You've got Blaise Lange, who's obviously out of favour a little bit. Jack Cogger there, and Jack Cole's off to the Bears. So there is that slot there in terms of a backup half situation. He's played a lot of New South Wales Cup. Was part of the New South Wales Cup winning side for the Warriors last year. So he's had a good base and good development at the Warriors. But I haven't seen enough of him, Andrew, to know if he's NRL ready.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
all right.
I haven't either. So.
Parramatta, you break the news today that the CEO is gone, and keep hearing that there is more change afoot at the Parramatta Eels. What are you hearing about? What's going on there?
Yeah, so Dean Tarantino's resigned from his post. We'll finish up at the end of this season. And has been at Parramatta in a range of different roles for the best part of a decade now, and has done a good job in terms of trying to bring some stability to the club, because, they were a basket case for a long time there, the Parramatta Eels. And whilst the results over the last few years on the footy field haven't been great, off the field, he's done a great job in terms of high performance, getting the NRLW side into the competition, and having a really good commercial base. But fundamentally, the footy just hasn't been good enough since they made that grand final against Penrith in 2022. So, Jim Tarantino opted to resign. And yeah, I've heard there's some same rumblings, Andrew, that there may be further changes as things go on.
Yeah, so is the board not, they just want a bit of change here and mix things up a little bit? What's the reason behind their investment here?
I think part of it is the on-field performance just hasn't been good enough, right? And they had the change of coach where they, Brad Arthur left the club, and Mark O'Neill, Jim Tarantino sort of led the search for the new coach in Jason Rolls, and the last 2 years have been underwhelming. They've failed to recruit some top-end talent consistently, and I think if the team was going well on the field, they'd be. Everything's going good for them off the field. We know how long Parramatta... When was the last time there was a boardroom drama or administration drama at Parramatta, which was continual for the best part of a decade? But that sort of stopped, right? So they've done a good job. Jim's done a good job from that point of view, but obviously the football program just not performing like it should.
You know what I don't understand, though? Parramatta were blowing up. You had all the fans blowing up. Brad Arthur got you doing a couple of grand finals, got him in the top four every year. And then now they're getting nowhere. And the coaches aren't getting any blame. I don't get it.
You got a lot to explain,
Brad,
Michael Carrianis.
Brad was there for a decade as well. Louis, Jason's been there for not 2 years yet. So
yeah, but he hasn't made the finals at all. Whereas he got him in the top four a few times and got him to grand finals.
Yeah, and a wooden spoon and an aging roster as well. Right, so it wasn't all rosy under Brad. Brad's time was up.
Why do you hate him so much?
His time was up though. I think everyone can admit Brad's time was up at Parramatta. He's doing good. Likely to win the Super League. So, but his time was up, right? But you look at where the Eels are, no doubt the last, particularly this year, has been underwhelming from expectation. And Jason Rolls will come under the blowtorch to start next year, no doubt.
All right. A couple of quick ones. Daly Cherry-Evans and Murray Tuilagi from the Cowboys. Could they both be on the move away from the NRL?
Well, Murray Tuilagi, definitely lock it in. He's going to go play French rugby next year. He was close. He was in discussions to go to the Roosters, but instead we'll go and play French rugby. That opens up the door for Daniel Tupu to get another 12 months at the Roosters, which is good news, I think, for all Roosters fans to see Daniel Tupu go around again. DCE, yes, he's had an approach from Hull FC, and those discussions have advanced to, formal offers and things like that. Whether or not he takes it up, I'm not sure, but they've definitely had a discussion to the point where they formalised an offer, and DCE is said to be seriously considering it.
All right, Michael. Now, we'll work with you on Saturday from 2 o'clock at Shark Park, but who do you like in the ABC Sport Cup tonight? Watson against Sorensen, Roosters against Penrith?
Scott Sorensen.
You're going Panthers?
I'm going Panthers. No Tedesco. I know Yo's not playing, but I don't think the Roosters can win a comp without Tedesco. I think the Panthers can win a comp without Isaiah.
Interesting. All right, Michael, catch you Saturday.
I'm on there tomorrow. Bye.
Oh, I'll listen to you on the way home from Brookvale. How good. You'll be at the Canterbury Roosters game.
That one.
Canterbury South.
That one.
Okay. Bye, Michael.
Bye, bro.
That's Michael Carrionis with Thursday MC's Hammer Time.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.